trusted in God. And God, it starts out, God, why? You can get back into normal spots if you like, or sit right where you are. I don't care if you move around. It's, you know, God, what are you going to do about the evil in the world? Specifically, what are you going to do about the evil right in front of me among my people? That's what Habakkuk asks. And God gives him an answer which he doesn't totally jive with. But I'm going to send this even more evil nation to punish the evil in your nation. That's the answer. Really exciting. And so Habakkuk goes, wait a minute, God. Why would you do that? Are you going to punish them? And God answers, yes, I'm going to do this and this is going to happen. But then it kind of dawns on Habakkuk, this prophet, kind of dawns on him that his people are going to go through a really tough time and he's going to be in the middle of it too. And he doesn't know what to do. It's a very stressful, I mean, I would be very troubled by that. You're predicting the future, you're seeing the future. God has said in the future, this foreign nation is going to come in and level your city. It's going to change everybody's life completely. It's going to be very difficult. And he knows this. God says, yeah, and I'll deal with the people that come in to punish. And believe me, it'll be worse for them. I deal justly. It's what I do. It's what God says. But Habakkuk says, hey, how do I deal with that stress? And chapter 3, I believe, is that answer. And I'm not going to talk about it much because Debbie's going to come up and talk about it. But let's read the passage of Scripture and take a look at it. And then bring the drama team up. This prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. I see God moving across the deserts from Edom, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. His coming is as brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from his hands, where his awesome power is hidden. Pestilence marches before him. Plague follows close behind him. When he stops, the earth shakes. When he looks, the nations tremble. He shatters the everlasting mountains and levels the eternal hills. He is the Eternal One. I see the people of Cushan in distress and the nation of Midian trembling in terror. Was it in anger, Lord, that you struck the rivers and parted the sea? Were you displeased with them? No, you are sending your chariots of salvation. You brandished your bow and quiver and your quiver of arrows. You split open the earth with flowing rivers. The mountains watched and trembled. Onward swept the raging waters. The mighty deep cried out, lifting its hands to the Lord. The sun and moon stood still in the sky as your brilliant arrows flew and your glittering spear flashed. You marched across the land in anger and trampled the nations in your fury. You went out to rescue your chosen people, to save your anointed ones. You crushed the heads of the wicked and stripped their bones from head to toe. With his own weapons, you destroyed the chief of those who rushed out like a whirlwind, thinking Israel would be easy prey. You trampled the sea with your horses and the mighty waters piled high. I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will await quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. What do you do when things are messed up? How do you trust God? Do you trust God to take care of it? Do you trust him to fix it? Do you think he has the power to do so? Do you think he has your best interest in mind? That's what Habakkuk was mulling over and over. Let's pray and bring the drama team up. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you welcome our questions. But Lord, you're faithful. And we can trust you. Help us to do that, even when the future looks very grim. Help us to trust you and put our faith in you, because you are mighty and powerful, and you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
topic for a Thanksgiving message. How's that? Yeah. So, chapter 3, here we are. Did you notice? It's a praise song. It says he sings a prayer. And what's going on here is he's talking about how awesome God is. How amazing. Okay, there's some plague goes before you and
Pestilence follows behind
and arrows and things get messed up and broken and shattered. And but you know what? I'm married to a mechanic. So I understand something. I understand that sometimes when you fix something, you have to tear it completely down and start over because it's so messed up, you can't leave it together. You take an engine apart and all the little pieces are all over the shop floor and you clean some of them, you throw some of them out and get new pieces, you take it completely apart and then you put it back together and then it runs better than before. Then you've got it fixed. But if you hadn't taken it completely down, stripped it completely apart, you're not going to fix it. And as we talked about earlier in Habakkuk, the nation was messed up. There was sin systemically through the whole thing. And it needed to be stripped down and scattered. They're about to be scattered and pushed out into exile and pretty much crushed by bad guys. And Habakkuk sees something to praise God about. And I think what he sees is that God's going to put the engine together later. Like Mark was saying, that Jesus is going to come. There's going to be good stuff. The nation's going to come back together. But see, Habakkuk doesn't see that yet. And we don't get to see that when we're going through bad stuff either. When we're going through the really hard stuff, it just seems like there's never an end to it, and we really don't know how it's going to come out, and we're really not sure if we can trust God in this or not, because you know, we've seen people fail and fall, and we know we could fail and fall too, and we're just not sure how far he's going to let it go, and we know it's going to hurt, like when the doctor has to re-break the bones. But yet Habakkuk finds a way to hope that God is going to make something better out of all of this. And I think that's really what's going to get us through whatever we're going through. So how does he do it? Let's look at what Habakkuk does in his figuring out how to praise in the middle of all knowing this darkness is coming. He looks at the history of God's goodness. He looks back to the beginning of when God takes their hand and leads them out of captivity and through the sea, and the waters pile up on either side, and rivers are found in dry deserts for the people to drink the water. That's where this is. God came in with plagues and pestilence to bring them out, to make them better, to make it possible for them to escape, to make it possible for this nation to be born. He sees that in the middle of all the awesome power and seemingly craziness of what God did, he made something good happen. And he's believing that God's going to do that again. Because he's seeing that God has a nature of bringing it back together and fixing things. And so, really, it comes down to stepping out in faith a little bit and just believing. That's all he's got left, is just the belief that somehow or another, God is good. And he's not sure how it's going to work, how it's going to be better. But even if he has no proof, even if he dies seeing there's no grapes on the vine at the end, there's no crops, there's pestilence everywhere, he's still going to believe that God is going to bring this nation through and make something amazing. God does that to us all the time. Sometimes I think it's his way of helping us to get more faith. I've gone through some times where I thought God couldn't fix anything, and I was depressed enough that I just didn't have any energy left, didn't have anything left. And the only thing that kept me together was knowing God's goodness, because I couldn't see anything coming that was good. Yeah, I went through a divorce with a man who just sucked everything out of me and left me feeling like I didn't have anything good in me. And, you know, I considered just taking my life because there wasn't going to be anything left for me. And, you know, it was something that didn't happen in my family. You didn't get divorced. I promised God, doggone it, I wasn't going to do that. Like it was within my power to change him. But I learned some things through it. I learned that nothing is in my power. It's all in his power. And that even in the dark times, if I just hold on just as 1 second longer, just a few minutes longer, if I just let him lead me just a little further, sooner or later I will come to a point where I can be grateful. I can look back at that now and see it, but I couldn't see it then. So I have to look back to find ways to praise sometimes. And then sometimes we look forward, because he did hint about the salvation of the nation. He did hint that sooner or later the engine would come back together and be fixed. He saw there might be something. He didn't see what it was. We get to see it was Jesus. So gratefulness in the middle of dark times is really faith. It's kind of like God says this ice is strong enough to stand on, even when you don't think it's going to be. And you step, hoping you don't fall through. Faith isn't braveness. Faith is just trusting enough to just take one more step forward. I hope you can find something to keep pushing you forward in the goodness of God, because it's there. He can bring us through every step, one step at a time.